Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Carly on the Blog Talk Network. In today's guest, we have Dan Wright coming on. He's been playing Eli on Dental Hospital for a couple of weeks now. And also, he was on Chicago Med and, you know, Law & Order True Crime, O.J. Simpson story. And I believed he was on Young and the Restless. Oh, he's here. Awesome. Let me bring him on. Like I said, Daytime After Dark presents Dan Wright. He's been awesome as Eliza. We don't know if he's good or bad at this point, because I can't figure him out. But maybe this interview, maybe I can. So here he is, everyone.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm great, Dan. How are you?
Fantastic, fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so I love that you're on Dental Hospital. Well, number one, it is my favorite soap in the whole wide world, you know.
Oh.
I do not have favorites, but I do. And you are working with my favorite person in the whole universe, Monique Bernard, right now. I'm jealous of you so much, even though I can figure out if you are good or bad. Like, I'm giving Eli the benefit of the doubt for right now because I'm trying to figure you out. And really, you need to be a little careful of Nina right now because she kind of lost touch with reality, you know, because you guys think he's Mike when he's really Sonny Corinthos. So, all the Carlson fans, you know, and the Sonny fans are going crazy over the storyline because we never thought it would be this long, and it's exciting. It's crazy. So, what was it like when you first got the call to come on Dental Hospital?
It was a very, very happy day, happy moment. I have been auditioning for Dental Hospital for many, many years, and getting close. Each time, so to book this job and have it be you know, such an incredibly fun character to play, like Elijah, is overwhelming and wonderfully so. You know what I mean? Just a very, very happy moment and something that I've been working toward for a long time. I've been dreaming of for a long time, and for it to happen, it was just phenomenal.
Well, yeah, actually it is because, I mean, I love that they are, you know, going for, you know, ZH is probably the only soap on there right now that has so many African-American actors on the soap. Out of all four of them,
right.
ZH has rose to the occasion of finally having, you know, all these great African-American actors like you on there and giving them great storylines. But,
yeah.
Okay, I need to know for my own curiosity. Oh, I'm going to, I've been trying to figure you out all weekend if Eli is bad or good, and I still don't have my answer in my head, which is, again, you don't even want to be in my head 20, 90, 99% of the time, no one wants to be in my head. But that 1% could be really interesting because, you know, you never know what's going to pop in my head. So why now, like Friday, they gave us the big cliffhanger of, you know, Mike breaking into the office, you know, and I'm like, okay, what's, you know, I'm like, oh, no, oh, no. But then I'm, like, thinking, wait a moment. If the cops come, then the cops have his DNA on file and everything. Oh, this could be good, you know. But for you, so how did you view your character? Because maybe that will help me in the audience view you because, you know, you're very complicated.
That is accurate. That's a very accurate statement. Let's see. So I wanted to address a couple things. One, I am honored that I'm in your head. Thank you for that space. the character is, as you say, complicated. But I mean, like, I think good or bad, to say good or bad would be to oversimplify, right? Elijah genuinely likes Nina. Elijah genuinely loves Phyllis and Lenny, right? So these are good qualities. Yes? But then some of his methodology. You know, we had the situation in San Francisco that didn't quite, you know, we had some issues there, but we got redemption for it. We, you know, got situated, and, you know, it sounds like, you know, his Elijah's tactics may be a little, you know, unorthodox and perhaps, you know, bending and breaking rules that maybe should, that most people wouldn't, but I don't think he's being a completely bad dude. I think if he has that darkness, I think there's still a lot of light in there too, if that makes sense.
Well, exactly. And I mean, I'm enjoying you and I hope they keep you on, you know, even when Sunday comes home, even though I'm worried about Eli's safety, but love by Carly, safety and
right.
Jason's you safety with Jason and Carly right now because, you know, Nina is going to be in the hottest bottle of all when they find out, oh, he's been alive all this time. And, you know, I'm waiting for Nina. I mean, I love Cynthia Walters. I think you and her have really good chemistry.
Thank you.
I wouldn't mind seeing kind of like the fail happening there. You know, I'm just trying to, you know, keep thinking how to keep you on longevity wise. And so it's either because I don't want you murdered, you know, because, you know, you are kind of, you know, in this whole mixed up of, you know, this is Mike, but this is Sonny Corinthos. So when word gets out that he's alive and Nina knew about it the whole time,
it's going to be a problem.
Yeah. What I call it is Nina's going to be in the worst time of her life with everyone, and I mean, I do not want to fall on you because you're so cute and darling, but I don't know if you're saying my gut for the big fall on Friday with the when he went into the office and then the, you know, the alarm came off, and I'm thinking, wait a moment. Sonny could always beat any alarm, you know, ever. Well, Jason did that, really. But I thought, wait a moment. Is Eli there to set him up? Or does Eli know him from way back is this line that, you know, Eli looked good and never knew who Sonny Crusoe was. So this is what the audience is trying to figure out with you because, you know, come on, everyone in Chicago, New York, everywhere should know who Sonny Crusoe, you know, is. I'm not talking about coffee importing. Well, okay, fine. Let's be honest. He is a coffee importer, people. But, you know, he, you know, is the biggest mobster ever, you know. And so, for me, it just, you know, and I don't want to lose you up. I really don't. But it just makes me curious if you know, but you can't tell me, or you could tell me after the show. If, like, Eli knew Sonny before, and this whole thing is, you know, Jason and Sonny did something to your family way back. Like, I'm trying to guess, like, 45 different scenarios how this will go. I mean, I should be writing Zeno Hospital, basically, but because I could have it all figured out in, you know, for you in less than 10 minutes. And
right.
And I will still keep you on the show. I totally would keep you on the show for that because I think you're that talented that Zeno Hospital needs you full time. And you know, they could easily bring you back to Post Office. You could easily work in the warehouse, you know, because I do not want to see you, you know, trying to, you know, kill my son in his and that's not what I want to see. But I want to see you still on the show. So if you need me to do
that.
Something, please let me know because I will. I will.
I totally will. Thanks.
You can ask your great publicist who loves me, Lisa, that I, you know, try and get the actor's most storyline by treating Frank, which I'm really shocked that he hasn't blocked me yet, really, because I treat him on a daily basis where he could do both. And so he hates my little tweets. But I gotta do it. And so besides Zeno Hospital, I was looking at your whole resume of, you went on so many delightful shows, you know, over your whole acting career. I mean, you know, which is awesome. And you were on Young and the Restless back in 2016 as a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And for the life of me, I'm trying to remember what doctor and why you were there.
Let's see. Hang on one second. So basically, I was a doctor who was going through physical therapy. Was it Neil? One of the characters was
Yes. Okay.
Teach them how to walk again. Do you remember that?
Now I remember because I'm glad you brought that up because Christophe St. John was, I hate saying was, I hate that, one of the greatest actors of all time. And he came on the show whenever I wanted. And, you know, we were kind of TV husband, TV wife kind of thing between us. And he was the most giving actor ever. So basically when the news came down that he died, which I'm still grappling with it, it was hard. But how was it for you to work with him? Because he's amazing. And I've never heard anyone say not a, you know, mean thing about him. And if they do, I will, you know, set them straight. But how was it like working with them?
Oh,
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I misspoke? It wasn't. I did. My scene wasn't with was with Christoph. I apologize. My scene was someone. But I'm trying to remember. Someone was going through physical therapy, and that. But to speak on Christoph. Christoph is certainly Christoph and Shamar and those guys. I mean, we really like, you know. I followed Christoph St. John for many, many years from when he was on Different World back in the day and Young and the Restless. There was even a pilot he was on with Flip Wilson in the early 80s when he was like a teenager. So it was certainly such a tragedy. When he passed and everything like that, he was certainly someone I looked up to. I didn't actually work with him on the show, but he certainly is somebody that has been a wonderful influence on my career that I've always looked up to.
Because, I mean, you know, I think he and James Runners from Days of Our Life, kind of those two have paved the way for African-American guys to make it in
Absolutely.
This business and not be just like a coffee waiter on a soap. They have made it for you guys to be like whatever you guys want to be. I mean, and,
Absolutely.
You know, I'm friends with James Runners too. And I've always given him the credit for, you know, letting Christoph. First of all, you know, he opened the door for him. And then Christoph
Absolutely.
Opened the door for you and all the guys, because I think that's what Hollywood even is lacking right now is, maybe I'm wrong and you can tell me, is lacking the diversity of African American males and females in the movie world. And, you know, there needs to be like a 50-50 with this. I mean, every actor should be able to give a chance to be able to be on any movie or whatever. And I just feel like Hollywood has not been given the message yet, loud and clear with, you know, come on. Whoopi Goldberg, did what she could to help the business. And it's just, for me, I just think we need to see more of that because it's just crazy. It's just crazy because there's not enough roles for you guys. And like I said, I will tweet Frank until he blocks me about keeping you on, because I believe you were general hospital needs. I would love to see you in a scene with Lola White, but more, I would love to see you on screen with Rio Andrews, who played Tigger, and Donnell Curtis, Donnell Turner, who played Curtis. That's
what I
would love to see. You know, I mean,
I love that.
You know, you guys are the three hot soap guys. And so People Magazine hasn't picked any soap people in about 3 years. I'm like mad at them right now. So I think there needs to be a change with that. And besides, you were on my favorite TV show at night, Chicago Med. I love Chicago Med, even though I need to catch up on a lot of episodes. How was that? Because Chicago Med is, you know, one of those hits that Dick Roof pulled out of the park with all the Chicago shows. So how is that for you?
That's funny you mentioned Chicago Med. There's another actor named Dan White. I've been trying to get that scrub from my credits for a long time. That is not actually me. It had, for the longest time, another actor was credited on my the Law and Order episode that I did, and they switched that one back. But I've been trying to get that corrected for a long time. So I'm sorry to disappoint you on that, but I actually wasn't on that show.
Yeah, I mean, you did a great job on that, and I love that if they bring you back, but I don't want to interfere with the Ace, of course. So, like, Chicago Med, this is what I'm curious. So, when you're filming Chicago Med, are they filming in Chicago now, like, full-time, or do they do, like, L.A. and Chicago, or are they just in Chicago?
Those shows are in Chicago, I believe.
Okay. Wow, I did not know that. Well, that's awesome. Because Chicago Med, Chicago PD, Chicago Fire are the three great shows on Wednesday night. See, I'm plugging people. It's a great, you know, whole thing with, you know, that Dick Wolf did. And then... Mm-hmm. You know, I think Dick Wolf really likes you because Law and Order, true crime miniseries, and maybe Dick Wolf didn't like this, but you were in the, you know, the murders of Eric and Wyoming, the murders.
Right.
Yeah, how was
right,
that?
Right, right.
Because once again, you hit it out of the park.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. That was a trip. The information that I found out was really interesting. So, playing O.J. Simpson I had to really try to voice match as much as I could to play O.J. Simpson and everything like that. So evidently, when Eric Menendez and Lyle Menendez were in the Van Nuys courthouse, O.J. Simpson was in the cell next door during that same time, and it was a trip. I mean, it was a lot of information that I just was not aware of in and around that trial, and you know, it also happened like at the same time as the O.J. Simpson trial and everything like that. But yeah, it was great. I had a great time doing it, and just listened to OJ and watched OJ talk, and I watched that documentary, you know, just to try to get into the rhythms and everything like that. It was fun. It was interesting though. It was interesting though, trying to get that underlying danger of OJ with all of the. I mean, the scenes in that show are basically, you know, he was signing autographs for fans and everything like that. Well, what he thought were fans, but he was doing stuff for cops. Like, the cops were asking him, could they have an autograph? Could they sign the ball and everything like that? And the conversation, Menendez warning OJ, oh, they're just trying to get information on you. But it was a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I love all true crime shows, even though, like, you know, we kind of know, like, what happened, but I love how they do it on screen with, like you said, O.J., you know, and all of them, they do pretty great movies, you know, and they are, you know, usually about 92% accurate. You know, they cannot have it like 100% accurate because, number one, they, you know, there are things in the script or something that the writers probably did not know what was going on because, you know, some of those things are like sealed. But I just find it very interesting when they finally do a TV movie of the week of, you know, a true crime thing that, you know, happened. Mm-hmm. I think that is very, very good of them. And I just love that about, you know, TV and where the true crime thing is going. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And my last present before I bring on Bobby is, okay, so with COVID-19 happening, mm-hmm. and last year, well, 2020, you could say 2021, how was it for you to stay home a lot during that? Or were you able to work during COVID-19, or were you stuck at home?
Was I stuck? It broke up a little bit. I'm sorry. Was I stuck at home during COVID-19? Is that what you asked me?
Yeah.
During COVID. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
Hello. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were speaking. It's been interesting. In LA, I mean, I was reading, like, you know, the social distancing and being able to self-isolate, I mean, is something, is, you know, it's been, I want to say, I mean, not everyone has that opportunity. Not everyone has been, like, you know, when you look at what's going on in India right now, you know, with everyone being so close together, it's very difficult physically to be able to self-isolate. So it's almost like, you know, being able to do that has been almost a luxury for people to be able, I mean, not in the sense of it being a good thing to enjoy, but in order to be able to take the safety precautions that we have, that has been a blessing to a lot of people to be able to do it. I've been with my family, been with my daughter, been with my fiance, and we did a lot of things out, you know, outdoors. I did a lot of reading with my daughter, and, you know, I tried to be as productive as possible, you know, while minding the guidelines. Thankful for the opportunity to be able to be safe with my family and isolate and try to, you know, I fortunately didn't get COVID. My fiance got it, but it was pretty mild. Her symptoms were pretty mild, and my daughter didn't either. We did a lot of things outdoors, isolated. You know, I was in Zoom acting class twice a week. I did a lot of work on productions. I'm doing a play online right now. Just trying to make the best of the time in these crazy times. And of course, with a lot of gratitude, because, you know, this has been, you know, we've had a lot of loss, and there's been a lot of people negatively impacted in so many ways. So that's pretty much what we've done. You know, just minded the guidelines, tried to stay isolated as possible, and do, you know, make the best of the time with each other, even in the circumstance. That was such a long answer to your question. I apologize if I was rambling a little bit, but that's pretty much what we've met to.
Well, yeah. I mean, Seattle, where I'm from, personally, we were the first ones to get COVID. And then we are still in it. And
sure.
Hopefully we will be reopening by June 30th. But every time they say, oh, we are going to be reopening, something happens. So it's almost like I don't even want to say it anymore because I'm too afraid of it just going back. I haven't been anywhere since August of 2019, and I love going away for the summer. See, the fall and the winter didn't bother me. The winter time, being stuck at home, did not really bother me because, you know, it was cold. You know, you didn't want to go anywhere anyway. But the summer, I think it's the thing that got a lot of people to totally want to get out of, you know, the grounding. And that's why I got COVID-19. It's like you've been grounded when you were 15 for something you did not do. And then, you know, then you're just waiting for the ungrounding to happen. So how it is happening in California and LA, are you guys back reopened, like, 100% there? Are you guys reopened, like, 75%?
Things are moving back towards the normalcy. They just started indoor dining again. I want to say like 2 weeks ago, and I think in certain stores you can go in, like Trader Joe's, for example. They let a certain amount of people in at a time, but you don't have to wear your mask anymore with the distancing. So things are starting to open back up. Everything, I mean, they were pretty, you know, the guidelines here were pretty, pretty spot on with what the CDC and everyone mentioned to do, from the beginning. And, the only thing, schools, and some schools are open, but the public school system, they're still like half and half. Like my daughter does, she has the option of either going in or doing Zoom, and we still have her doing Zoom classes right now. But things are, I think by the fall, certainly, I think things will be completely, you know, open back up. So that's what's happening right now.
Interesting. Yeah, I just think this whole thing is just gonna hopefully, you know, us going back to normal. You know, even though I got my 2 COVID-19 shots, I'm still wearing the mask only because, you know, you don't know who's all been, you know, getting those shots and whatever. But I think, you know, we might turn a corner, but I don't want to say that fully because every time I say something else happens. So I'm keeping mum. But if I don't bring on my other host, she's going to kill me. And Bobby is wonderful. And, you know, I don't want Bobby to be mad at me. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, how are you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. What's it like to work with Maurice Bernard? Because I have heard all kinds of stories from co-stars about him.
Oh, man, Maurice is awesome. I really enjoyed and continue to enjoy, like, Maurice, of course, as you know, has been on the show for 28 years, and it was just a fantastic honor to just step onto the soundstage with him. Really cool dude. He's a funny guy. You know, he always, you know, just I mean everything like just if somebody, you know, throws a direction out or something like that, Maurice will joke and say, "Hey, did everybody hear that?" And he's kidding around and everything like that. He's just a really a great guy to work with. We had one scene in particular that really stands out, where we had to go toe to toe and almost come to blows, right? And so in the script there were two exchanges, and so they said, okay, we want it kind of blows up too quickly. So what I want you guys to do, actually,
We weren't even directed to do that. Maurice decided. Maurice walked up to me and said, yo, we're going to ad-lib this. I said, oh, all right. And he said, all right, now, here's what you got to understand. When Sonny Corinthos goes off, bad things happen. And I'm going to come at you like Sonny Corinthos. I said, okay. And and director told me, he's like, I want you to come right back at him. So he walks around the bar. He gets up in my face, and we're going back and forth. And they just let it fly. And it crescendoed, and then Joyce walks in and as Phyllis and stops us, and it was great. And as soon as they yelled cut, he gave me a fist bump and said, "Nice job." And he likes the back and forth. It's fun. You know what I mean? It's like playing tennis with somebody. And he's just great. I mean, just and such a nice guy. Absolutely no, for someone to be, as much of a legend as he is, he's just a chill dude, he's just here, let's do the work, let's get it done, and let's have some fun while we do it. And that's the best way to be at work. Go to work, do your job, and have a great time doing it. And someone like Maurice Bernard fosters that environment and makes, the new guy feel welcome and welcome to the stage and play and have a good time and let's get at it, So I really love working with Maurice.
Yeah. I think if they can keep you on GH, that they should pair Eli with Nina.
Well, I appreciate that. It's a we'll see where it goes. the picnic dates and so forth that we've been on so far, I think we have a lot of synergy and fun.
Yeah, and you probably missed two good opportunities of working with Michelle Stafford, because you missed an opportunity over on YNR and you missed an opportunity on GH thus by a couple of years.
Right.
But anyway, so I hope you have a good day and come back to the show. You're welcome back on the show, and let us know of any other projects or any other GH news in the upcoming weeks when you come back.
I certainly will, Bobby. Thank you, Carly. I really appreciate you guys. This was a blast. And I want to thank your listeners, too, for having me.
Before you go, I just want to tell everyone that you have two movies in the can of completed. Right now, it's Checkmate. It's a short film. It doesn't say if it's completed or not, but they said Mazo Aconia is completed. Mm-hmm. So do we have a date on that?
I don't have dates yet. We've been in post for a minute. Certainly, with the whole pandemic, it kind of pushed the schedule back in terms of ADR and different things. But soon, hopefully by the end of the year.
Awesome. And please, Dan, follow me on Twitter at daytime 6976. If you would,
great.
I would love to have you follow me. And like I said, anytime you need me help with Frank, I'm there. And yeah, you're on Twitter, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah,
I'm going to follow you right now. What's your handle again?
Okay, perfect. And have a great day, and please come back.
Oh, thank you so much, Carl. I appreciate it. Bobby, thank you, sir. I really enjoyed you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. And like I said, Dan, come back anytime.
All right. That sounds fantastic.
Okay. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Right.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was a great interview.
Bobby, that was great questions, buddy.
Yeah.
I figured to see more briefly
on YNR, I would just brought up Chris Hall St. John's name and all earlier. I just thought that I would I would just bring up Michelle Stafford, somebody that's been on both General Hospital.
Well, and
Fire.
You know, you know with me how much, no matter how long Kristoff's been gone, I still miss him so much that it's very hard for me to miss him as much as I do, because I mean I miss a little, I miss a little, craziness that we had when interviews. So yeah, and so we have probably a really good guest this week coming up. We have, and people, remember to contact me because I'm doing the booking now. I'm on my own. I'm on my own with the booking, which is good. So, Bobby, if you ever get people, if you ever contact people, just let me know so we can schedule them. That's how we are going to do things from now on. Okay, Bobby?
Okay. And speaking of which, when is our next show and our next guest?
Thank you, Bobby, for asking such a delightful question. Let's see. Who is
I know we have a show on Friday with Vivian from Days, but besides Friday.
Yeah. Let's see. That's really, okay, I got to tell you a funny story why I looked this up. So I woke up at noon today, right? I just had a hard time sleeping last night. Seattle has been having hot summer nights, even though it's not summer yet. So, I couldn't sleep but save my life. And so, basically, I woke up at noon thinking, oh my God, I'm late for this interview. Because in my head, I thought it was at, noon, but it was at 1, and I was so thankful for that. Okay, so on Thursday, Daytime App presents one of my great friends, Eric Fellows, who's been on the Bay in Days, and My Daughter Ransom. He's like one of the best actors of all time, and may I say very sexy. And I just have a teeny, tiny little crush on him. With Bobby already knows, then Bobby could be blackmailing me for life. Yes, I know. And then Friday, like you said, Bobby, we have Louise Surreal. I said the name right. My Bobby, Louise Surreal. Yes.
She played the original
Vivian Adamane, the best Vivian, there ever was. I know there's been recast with Robin from One Life to Live, and there was someone else, but now I can't remember. But she is the one that owns Vivian, because all the crazy stuff, remember in the 90s, Bobby, with like Vivian burying people and all that, is like my worst fear, known to, that's my worst fear about life, being buried alive. That is my worst fear, really. Do you have that kind of feel, Bobby, to be buried alive?
I'm just a little bit scared that.
Yeah, I mean, of course you will be. So next week, We have, let's see, I know we have someone next week. Yes, we have on the 26th, Daytime After Dark Week, welcome back Zasper Cole. Oh, my God. We love him whenever he stops by, right, Bobby? And then
that's right.
On Friday night, Paul Gosselin at 7 p.m. our time. It's a later show, Bobby. It will be, 8 or 9, but, I think, this is the one time Friday we can do that,
That's so fun. Your time?
Yeah, 7 p.m., my time.
Okay.
And wait, so what time is it right now where you are?
Yeah, it's about a quarter to 5.
Okay, so you are 3 hours. Wait, are you Megan's time?
No, I'm 1 hour ahead of Chicago.
Okay, so you're the East Coast time, right?
Right.
You know what? The next thing they need to make a bill on is making the whole country the same time. Don't you agree, Bobby, because of this, so confusing and everything. So we will be back Thursday and Friday. And if I get any more people on, I will let everyone know. And just enjoy your Monday. And don't do anything crazy, people. And just remember, next week is the week we've all been waiting for, because the game shows will be back. I love it. And do not worry, people. I will have the show uploaded tonight with Dan. So you guys have a great day. Bobby, you were perfect today.
Thank you.
So, yes, have a great night, you guys, a great day. And if it's hot wearing you, just open the windows because it's muggy here. And just have a great day and enjoy the view. Right, Bobby?
Okay. Right. You have a good day.
Okay. Bye.